The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, he found others standing around and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to the foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give to this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's the parable of the landowner and the workers in the vineyard. And this parable has been interpreted in many different ways. It's been interpreted as an allegory, as the story of Israel and the Gentile nations. Israel's labored in the vineyard of the Lord for centuries and centuries, and these upstart Gentile nations who got some missionary priest showing up on a beach in their country suddenly join in and have the full reward of the kingdom of heaven. It's one interpretation of it. Another interpretation is that it's an image of the last judgment, where to everybody's surprise, many who are last will be first, and many who are first will be last. And it's also a story of the conversion of people's hearts at different times in their life. Some people here are cradle Catholics, some people here are converts, new workers in the vineyard, and everyone in their own hour brings something to offer that's for the benefit of all of us. Different ways in which this parable's been interpreted, but all of them are meant to confront us with the same reality. They're all meant to confront us with the sin of envy. Okay, so let's think about that for just a second. Let's remember the definition of envy. And envy is sadness at the good fortune of another person. And don't misunderstand that. Like every sin, envy has to be a choice. It's not a feeling, it's not a mood, it's not a knee-jerk reaction of your emotions. The envious soul sins with its brooding and its contemplation and its continual thought about the matter. I like to call envy the no-win sin, because every sin under heaven, except for envy, offers you at least a little bit of a payout of an enjoyment one way or another. But envy is pure bitterness, pure sadness. Now, of course, the antidote to envy is gratitude. That's what you have to practice. But gratitude only grows in the soil of humility. A proud soul has absolutely no gratitude. They think that everything is due them, everything is entitled to them, and it's very ugly indeed. The antidote to envy is gratitude. And gratitude grows in the soil of humility. And in that sense, I'd like to offer you just a couple of thoughts here about this parable to help us, in a sense, see as God sees. And the first is to understand this parable first as a story of mercy, and to note that there is no contradiction between mercy and justice. Imagine two people walk into a car dealership. They both want to buy the same car, a brand new family truckster, okay? One guy pays for the car in full, just writes a check. Owner, the car dealer hands him his keys. The other guy approaches the dealer and says, I don't have all the money right now. I can give you half the money right up front, and maybe we can finance the rest. Car dealer says to him, oh, the heck with financing. I'll give it to you for half. Here's the keys. And the guy who just paid in full is suddenly caught up in indignation at just what happened. It's because he doesn't understand there's no contradiction between generosity and justice. What if the difference in the car's cost is going to come out of the pocket of the dealer? And he chooses to be generous. Absolutely nothing is lost. Envy forgets that. Envy once again feels entitled. And forgets that Jesus has already paid the full price for all of our sins, and that everything, including every breath you take and every beat of your heart, is one great big gift. An antidote to envy. Remembering there's no contradiction between mercy and justice. It's just that mercy costs somebody else the same price as justice, and that someone is usually God, or often one of your neighbors or someone who loves you. The second way to understand this parable, to help us to approach this subject, to see it as God sees it, is to see it as a story of justice. Because this parable recounts an annual event in Israel, which was the annual late September grape harvest. And at the end of the summer, all the grapes would be fully grown, and there was about a 2-week window of opportunity in which you could gather up the grapes before the rainy season came in, and there was a huge demand for labor. Anybody who could work at all was needed to gather up the grapes, make sure the harvest was not lost. And the lowest class in all of Israel, lower even than a slave, was the class of the day laborer. This parable is all about day laborers. They were so poor and so needy that they would take even 1 hour's worth of work if that was all they could get for the day. And these people who work at 9 and 3 and at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, these people are only standing around because they want to work, even if it's for an hour. And in justice, the owner of the vineyard pays them for all of the work that they wanted to give. And this is the way our Lord is too. It's the way he is with all of us. He tends to reward those who seek him, not those who seek themselves. And deathbed conversions are very, very rare. But when they happen, they tend to come to those who have been seeking the Lord all their life, but have never found him. In a sense, just payment for an entire life filled with the seeking of the truth. Just a couple of thoughts for you here today that might help. If we could see as God sees, there'd be no room for the sin of envy. It would disappear, and we'd be left with nothing but praise to God for his mercy, his generosity, and we would be filled with nothing but gratitude for what he has given. And so, for those two great virtues of humility and generosity, let's continue to pray today and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us. Pope St. Pius X, pray for us.